Good morning, friends and family. Oh, it is Sunday morning. It is beautiful outside, at least looking out the windows here in Texas. You just see the sun is shining, birds are flying, and just what's making for another beautiful day. Don't get me wrong. If it were clouds, rain coming down, winds are blowing, all those things, the sun, our son, Jesus, the son of Jesus Christ, would still be shining. But just taking that into perspective as we talk about no more games. Not no more games, no time for games. And I guess I'm said no more games because as I think of being a Christian, and the amount of time that I've said I'm a Christian, is no more games. At the same time, as we are speaking to babes in Christ, as we are bringing up our children, we need to educate them on no time for games. So no time for games is what we're talking about. No time for games is really identifying who's being real. Who's being real in this journey of life that has been bestowed, has been gifted to each and every one of us. Who is willing to participate in all the things that is purposeful for their lives? These are some questions that just, for me, in this past week, have truly grounded to the heart of things. Am I sitting on the sidelines? Am I hesitating to do what I'm called to do? Or am I right there to partake 150%? We say, we call that in the world, am I ride or die? Am I going to be there? Am I loyal? Am I reliable? And I'm standing up and saying that there are no time for games. So I'm excited that we are just digging deeper and deeper into this topic this week because it's truly opening up so much. And I invite you to take this time. If you're not up, fully up, get up. Get your pen, paper, be ready to take notes and just really receive of what is being offered today. God is no joke when he's offering, when he has set the table and is serving a meal for our consumption. No matter whom he sends it through, he is hoping that we take that in and are ready to then walk in it and review it as a part of our lives. His word is to be used to teach, to correct, to rebuke, and it is an opportunity for us to say, no time for games. We've got to understand this, and we've got to operate in it. That's the beauty of God's word. That's the beauty of walking in our faith. That is our uncompromising love and respect for him to say no time for games. So we're here, we're kicking off this wonderful topic, no time for games. And we've been studying this entire week. So I reach, plead to everyone, if you haven't heard the call from Wednesday night, please go to Sunday Morning Breakfast and get it. Please get it. Please share it. And those who did hear it, please listen to it again. because there's nothing like the great opportunity that God is giving us to, if we didn't get it the first time, then go ahead, listen to it again. I guarantee you there's something on there that you didn't hear the first time. So as we go forward on this call, please, let's do so with open hearts and open minds so that we can continue to receive what it is to have, to be in a space of no time for games. So let's go forward on this message with our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Good morning, Mr. Carr.
Good morning, Ms. Tiana.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. On yourself?
Great, thank you.
All right, so, y'all, we're talking about there are no time for games. Y'all know we in end days. And it's so easy to get caught up in this present situation, circumstance, and whatnot. We got to be very careful. You're dealing with a demonic force. Remember the Bible said he's the prince of this earth, the prince of this world. He, meaning the evil one, the devil, the deceiver. And we have to be very, very studious when it comes to the things of God. Important. It's easy to get trapped up. It's easy. But when we're not playing games with the devil, the Bible says, be ye sober-minded. Uh-huh. Be vigilant. Being mindful, being watchful. This is important as we step into this arena called life. Very important. Because the Bible says that love protects at all times. At all times. Not sometimes, all the time. Whatever you protect is what you love. So you have to protect the life that God has gifted us with. He has given us. And we cannot be ensnared by the tricks and the wiles of the devil. He's been around here much longer than we have. Facts. The Bible says, be as wise as a serpent, but as humble as a dove. Facts. Look at the first part. As wise as a serpent. That means he is wise. If God calls him wise, he's wise. But he's not humble. He's not humble. With that being said, we got to be careful as to how we walk. Hence, the Bible says, show thyself blameless. In other words, Satan shouldn't have a chance. See, I'm going to tell you when we're not playing games with the devil. This is how you know you're not playing games with the devil. When the devil has tried you, God has tested you. You know, he consecrates us first. He sets us aside. He prepares us for the test. The tester, the tempter comes to tempt you. He's tried you, and he can no longer get to you. He got to go back to God. And he started whispering in God's ear. And God say, turn up the heat. let me break this down to y'all. You know, catch this, y'all. Catch this. I'm going to wake y'all up this morning before we get ready to pray. You know somebody is really hating on you and you're not playing with them. When they can no longer get to you, they got to go to people around you that they think is close to you. Miss Tiana, for instance, if I don't fool with you no more, you can't get to me, but you know I'm close to my mother, then you go to my mama.
Right.
To try and get to me. Now, you may come in the form of, you know, Miss Deborah, you know, yada, 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 you saying sweet things to her. I really, you know, like your son and this, that, and other. He don't want to give me a chance. Or you very well go to Miss Deborah and say, Miss Deborah, you know, your son is some horrible this, that, and other. But the fact of the matter is you couldn't get to me no more, so you had to go back to something that was close to me. All right? The whole premise, Miss Tiana, is that, you know, I'm not playing with you. See, when Satan has to go back to God to get back to you, come on, Job. Tell him about it, Job. Oh, yeah, come on, Job, because he couldn't affect Job. Satan went back gossiping to God because Job wasn't playing no games with Satan. Satan said, hold on, God, you got a hedge of protection around him. Take it from around him and watch me do my work. But look who he had to go back to. You know the devil knows who you are when you stop playing with him, when he got to go back to your closest source, meaning God. When Satan got to go back to God to get permission to mess with you again, boy, you ain't playing with him.
Come on.
Well, did y'all miss that already? When he got to go to God a second time, because you do know he had to go to God to even play with you. But see, it's okay that he's trying to play with you as long as you're not playing with him. Because see, some things he didn't know, but he's going to find out today. What did they say he's going to learn today? When the devil got to go back to God a second, a third, a fourth time to play with you, that means, boy, look, your loyalty to God is strong. Your faithfulness to God is strong. But when the devil got direct access through you, to you, and he never got to go back to God, he can just play with you. Well, you very well may be playing a game with him. Y'all know we're playing a game with Satan when we say, well, I ain't going to do all of it. I'm just going to do some of it. I'm going to communicate with him sometimes. See, you're not wise enough. We're not strong enough. We're not bold enough. This is why the Bible says, Satan, get thee behind me. In other words, don't play with me. See, when you don't play with the devil, huh? You tell him to get behind you. Not only do you tell him to get behind you, you show him what it looks like. Because, see, when you behind me, see, my eyesight, that's why God gave us eyes to the front and not the back. I can't even, you dead to me.
Come on.
I don't live life going backwards. You dead to me. And if you're not careful and you keep on playing with the devil, it's just like playing with fire. Uh-huh. And when you play with fire, you end up getting burned.
Ooh.
You'll slip out further than you wanted to go. This is why we do not play things or play with things. We're drawn away by our own lust and desires. So when you fall into temptation, listen to me. When you fall into temptation, it has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with our ability, our immaturity, because we played a game. And God, I'm only going to do it for one time. And that one time turns into 20. And 20 turns into months. And months turn into lifestyles. And before you know it, you have created a self-made stronghold. Created a stronghold. All because of the game that we decided to play. The one that God told you no on. See, if Satan not going back to God to get permission to mess with you again, why do I need permission to mess with you when I got access to you? Oh, y'all miss that?
Good morning.
Let us go ahead and pray with you.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so gracious that you've given us this day. You've woken us up, dear Lord, to allow us to just come together, fellowship, and to operate in you all throughout this given day. Use us, Heavenly Father, as you choose to. May we be the willing vessels that you've called us to be. Cleanse us of the things in which we are not pure of, so that when people see us doing your work, they see you. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to just guide us towards what you need us to see. There's a purpose for our lives that you have prepared. Heavenly Father, may we just receive that so that we are continuously operating in you. Thank you for this meal that you prepared for us today. May we all receive of it, dear Lord, so that we can use it in and throughout our lives. We thank you for this ministry, and we thank you for our leader. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Y'all wake on up. I'm about to dance on this phone. Not for y'all, for me. Oh, I ain't entertaining. The word of God should be sufficient by itself. Because when we not, y'all know, listen, come on, y'all. When we not playing no games with something, when you don't play games with something, you know, the Bible says, now, can I show y'all this? Let me help y'all for a second. Okay? The Bible, see, a game is anything that we give way to that's not faith-based.
Amen.
Come on, y'all want to write that down? Put it in your cell phones. A game is anything that we give way to, yield to. You know when anybody know about driving? Well, let me take us back to driver's ed. Y'all know the IPTE process, identify, predict, decide, and execute. Y'all know that. Because in driving, you do it every day. You identify when to go. You predict what's going to happen. You decide what you're going to do, and you execute it. You do it just that quick within less than a second. Right?
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that you yield to, that's outside of faith, we start playing a game. To yield to something means I slow down and I let it have its way.
Come on.
But I thought the Bible said we have this uncompromising word of God in us. If God be in us, how can we ever yield to anything called a game? Now, remember, the game is anything that God would not do, anything that is not faith-based. So, therefore, can I help somebody out? As y'all know, we'd be guilty of this, right? If you don't know, the Bible says it this way. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the corrupt, all things are corrupt. When we go around assuming negative and we don't hope for the best, you know that's called a game. Come on. I don't care how hard you have been in your life. I know the last relationship didn't work, but when you're putting something on her or him that's negative, well, I look at signs. So what about the signs that God should look at? But God don't play no games.
Come on.
Remember, man judges the outward. God judges the inner. Because man judges the outward, it becomes a game. All somebody has to do is trick your eyes, trick your emotions, and they got you. Y'all don't have to say amen. I'm going to say amen for you. That's all they got to do. It becomes a game. And Satan know what you like.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Why you think the Bible says the devil comes like a wolf in sheep's clothing? In other words, the shepherd can spot him, but the sheep can't.
Come on.
If you're close enough to God, game playing would not be in your repertoire. See, when you are mature in God, we don't have time for games because we're too busy producing more. All right? We're too busy winning more souls. We're too busy doing the things that God has called us to do. Why? Because for one, it's a lifestyle, but then we're leaving an example. We're leaving a legacy. We're saying, God, we did our part, but not only did we do our part, look, whenever you call us, look what we've left behind.
Yes.
See, one of our gifts is the ability, watch this, y'all, since we ain't playing games, right? One of our gifts is the ability to recruit. In other words, we see stuff that says hashtag relationship goals, hashtag business goals. See, when you do exceedingly and far more abundantly than what people expected, even yourself, that shows the fact that we are mature beyond the stress of the imagination of the typical regular person. Because now you become a statue, a monument, a billboard of excellency. In other words, they start to look at you. Now, the Bible says a wise man wins souls. The only way that you were able to maintain that is that you had integrity enough in God to say that I have this thing called stick-to-itiveness, that I would not deter to the left or to the right with the foolery. So while they're out there playing, I'm out here working. While on the weekends, they're going to the movies, I'm at home studying because I have goals that I have to meet. Now, that's in the natural. What do you think the spiritual look like? See, Peter started to play a game, whether y'all realize it or not. Peter started to play a game when he walked on the water. And the game was this. He yielded to his fears. Anybody with insecurities out there? See, now that's a game we're playing. Because, see, remember the devil comes to steal, to kill, destroy, See, the thing is, the devil just wants to take something away from you so he can ultimately kill you.
Yes.
Come on, anybody, come on, boy, I wish I could get somebody on the phone with me that's going to listen this morning. Do y'all know that when you lie, you do know that when you lie, you take away something from somebody. You take away their free will to make a decision.
Yes.
Let me say it again, Miss Tiana. You rob somebody of something that God gave them. Lord have mercy. No time for games. Somebody want to press star 5 and talk to me this morning? You know that when the liar, anybody can't stand the truth? I mean, somebody who lies? And they'll take it to their grave? When somebody lies, listen to me. It's not just a verbal command. A lie can be a lifestyle. A lie is what the Bible says. Do not withhold any good thing from those who deserve it. People won't tell the truth because they don't want to be shamed. Don't do it then. But when you lie, whether they ask you or not, remember the Bible says when you become friends of God, he lets everything that's known to him through the Father, he lets it be known to us. That means when you love something, you tell it what it don't eat. Listen, when we lie, What we do is we manipulate the truth. And to manipulate the truth, when you try to manipulate something, you try and control something. To manipulate it is to control. Lord, have mercy. When you manipulate something, when they manipulated the votes, the tally, they manipulated how many people voted for this one versus that one. That means they wanted to control it. And control is a spirit of witchcraft because God gives us free will. So when we manipulate the truth, we're trying to manipulate God. Why do you think the Bible said the truth shall come to light? What's done in the darkness shall come to light? Why do you think he said that? Because who can stop God? He said he watches over his word. This is why the truth comes out, because God plays no games. When he said it, he meant it.
All right.
So those who manipulate the truth ultimately try and control the situation. They try and control you. They try and make you walk a certain way, think a certain way, live a certain way based on what you don't know.
Mm.
In other words, they didn't just try to steal. Y'all didn't hear me. They tried to kill. Y'all didn't hear me. They tried to steal your ability to make an accurate decision in life because they playing a game. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? What did they just do with the lie? They stole honesty. They also stole your free will, because how can you make a free will decision if you don't know the truth?
Come on.
Huh? They kill glory, because if your decision is not based on righteousness, how can you? Esau? His daddy gave the wrong one, the blessing to the wrong son. They stole something from his father because they played a game. But you know God can deal with the game players as well, right?
Come on.
Let me say this again. You know that God is going to deal with the game players as well. So let us be careful, and let us literally be careful to not be one of them. If we are operating outside of faith, that means we are playing a game. In other words, if your thoughts, if your actions, if your lifestyle, if your reasoning, if the way that you speak does not resemble faith, does not resemble God, we're playing a game. See, a lot of times we're thrust upon a game or in a game that we don't even know we're playing.
Come on.
Do y'all know that? Sometimes we be playing a game and we don't even know we planned it. It's called Russian roulette with your soul. See, Satan don't want you to know that. Satan just wants you to think you're playing a game, talking about, I'm living my best life. I ain't going back. So we start taking joy as something that feels good. But look at the game we done slipped into. Because I didn't think that faith was about a feeling. As a matter of fact, if faith was about a feeling, why did Jesus have so much anguish? Uh-oh. Y'all didn't hear me, all right? If it was based on how you feel to determine if it's a game or not, remember, feelings are based heavily on leaning to your own understanding. Oh, my goodness, because I don't feel good. See, feelings are subjective, but faith is never subjective. Did y'all catch that?
That's right. That's right.
See, when we start to mature and stop playing games, even in the natural, can I go that route? Good. I'm glad you said okay. In the natural, when you mature, you don't care about how you feel in the morning. You know you got 3 kids you got to take care of, 2 kids you got to take care of, a mom and a daddy that you got to take care of because they can't take care of themselves. You got something you got to take care of. That means I don't care how I feel. I got to get up, because if a man don't work, finish that statement.
A man don't eat.
I don't have time for games, right?
That's right.
Y'all following me? See, we start to do things that other people wouldn't do. Y'all, this is real. So we don't have time for games, because work and games are the polar opposite. Are the polar opposite. See, a game is when you do what you feel like doing. Work is doing what you have to do to survive.
Amen.
Huh? Anybody want to work? Oh, I said anybody want to work. Remember, the Bible tells us something, so you know he do it. He said, know them that labor. If you say labor, Doesn't that go coincide with work? Know them that labor amongst you. In other words, know them that work with you. If they're not working with you, that must mean they're working against you. And if they're working against you, by all means, they are playing a game.
Whew. Come on.
God, say it this way. Choose ye this day whom you will serve.
Yes. Yes.
This is what the Bible says, y'all. He said, make a decision and make it clear. In other words, don't be going to and fro. See, we be playing a game because we love them this week, but next week we don't love them. We want to be back with them the next week, but the following week we saying, I don't know, God. See, that's a game because we do the same thing to God. You know, we be all in over the summertime, but we all out during fall because it's football season. See, we have our seasons with God. We get serious with God until we get what we need and want, and then we step away from God. You know, if ever somebody in your family needs a healing hand, then you get serious. I ain't playing with the devil. But as soon as they get healed, now all of a sudden you go back and revisit the devil.
Come on.
Miss Tiana, what you got right quick? What you got?
Mr. Carr, I love that. How do we represent God, right? We put in work. Or do we play games? Jesus said that he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for ransom for many. Definitely not playing games there. And in that, the days before his death, he was walking with his disciples in his hometown of Jerusalem and explained to them exactly what was going to happen so that he could emphasize what was going forward. There was no more time for games. He wanted to ensure that they knew what to expect in his absence. And he literally told them that the religious leaders were coming for him, that they were going to mock him, that they were going to spit on him, that they were going to kill him, and that he would come back from the dead 3 days later. Two of his disciples, though, were playing games and were more concerned about whether selfish ambition and whether or not they can be seated on the left and right side of him. And in that moment, he literally let them know that their life was about service. And he made it crystal clear that they would have put others first. I'm sharing this to say that more than any single way, the grace of humility, not pride, not selfish ambition, is working through our lives through the discipline of service. And in service, there's no time for games. Because serving promotes unity. It promotes teamwork. It imitates Christ, and if we allow it to, it can change us. And by being a servant, by putting in that work, once we have an attitude of love, we are in full participation of God's plan for our lives. Thus, we need to focus on what's right in front of us and not play games. There's a difference between choosing to serve and choosing to be a servant. Because when we choose to serve, we retain control of whom we serve, what we serve, how we serve, when we serve, and thus we're playing a game. But when we choose to be a servant, we have given up the rights of control, and we truly get to work. So when we choose to be a servant, we allow God to take the wheel. When we choose to be a servant, we choose to be obedient. Because this gift of life is not a game. So are we choosing to participate, to just watch, or do we hesitate to partake? I hope you ate well.
Okay. Now let me address something, because I know where she's going with this. To serve and be a servant, that's the same thing. Because remember, God came to serve, not to be served. Just want to clarify that for everybody. There's no difference there. There's no difference there. Because you can have love, but there's an earthly love and there's a heavenly love. You can have a servitude attitude, but there's a natural fleshly one and a spiritual one. Okay? The Bible says it this way. 1 Corinthians, y'all, let me read this. I'm going to read God's New Translation. 1 Corinthians 14 and 20, y'all can write it down. Do not be like children in your thinking. Now, I hope y'all hearing these words, but now when you hear it, you got to do it. You got to listen, because it's not a game. So when we're not playing a game, we get information to actually execute, identify, predict, decide, and execute, right? Okay. So mm-hmm. we identify what's going on. If you don't have the ability to identify, boy, we behind the eight ball. We got to get on our giddy up. Because we pray for discernment, as a matter of fact, because God lives in you, you do have the ability to recognize right from wrong. All right.
Yes.
So, do not be like children in your thinking. Stop thinking like children. Y'all know how children think. They're just all over the place. Okay? So, in other words, yes. when you say that, you got to mean it. Because if you didn't mean what you say, you're just a juvenile, huh, in the making.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be like children in your thinking, my friends. Look at what God says. He calls us my friends. In other words, God is taking a proactive stance to call us what he sees us as, not what we currently are. My God. Now, I don't know if y'all think that's a game, but it's not. Because if God calls you friend, that means you're a friend. That means you have the potential to be just that. You just have to walk in it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You just have to walk in it. Because your potential should turn into purpose. When you have purpose and you're walking in purpose, that means I don't have time for distractions. All right? Do not be like children in your thinking, my friends. Be children, though. Huh? I want you to be, don't be children in your thinking, but be children so far as evil is concerned. In other words, I want y'all to be immature in evil. Lord, have mercy. Y'all know what he meant by that? Because we don't have time for games. Watch this, Miss Tiana. I want you to
yes.
be a child when it comes to you sinning.
Yes.
I want you to be a child when it comes to you being deceptive. I want you to be a child when it comes to you being a liar. I want you to be a child when it comes to you being a fun. See, when you're immature in sin, that means I have a, see, in anything in this embryonic state is easy to kill. Y'all ever seen a small baby spider versus a big tarantula?
Mm-hmm.
One you step on, the other one you call an exterminator for. You very well may move. Huh? Y'all follow me? Y'all ever seen a worm versus a snake?
Mm-hmm.
Full grown snake. Uh-huh. Y'all ever seen a baby pit bull versus a 10-month-old pit bull? I'm not using that dog. No disrespect to anybody who has one. They're not bad dogs, but I'm just using examples. Y'all follow me? Y'all ever seen a baby tiger cub versus one that's 2 years old? God's saying be immature. Okay? If anything, don't be immature in your thinking. Mm-hmm. Y'all follow me?
Yes.
But be immature in your sin. That's what he was saying, right, Miss Tiana?
Yes, right.
Y'all got that? Mm-hmm. But be immature, be children so as far as evil is concerned, but be grown up in your thinking. In other words, boy, if y'all see a professional liar, you better start to run.
Mm.
Y'all didn't hear me, though. Y'all didn't hear me, though. Boy, oh, Lord, y'all can go ahead and jump around the room talking about I know a couple of them. Huh? We don't have time for games. If you see a professional liar, that means they've been doing that for a long time. And what I mean by a professional liar, I'm talking about a professional deceiver. I'm talking about Lucifer in the making. That means they're a liar without blinking.
Yes.
And they don't even think twice about it. And we'll get mad at you for questioning their lie. Amen, somebody.
Come on.
They have become professional. They lie like that. Pathological. Habitual. The lies have increased so much. The lifestyle has increased so much. The lie don't even have to be verbal. Miss Tiana,
wow.
I told somebody the other day, we don't have time for games because we are children in God. We are mature in our thinking. Watch this, Mr. Green. I told somebody, listen, they called you a whore without using the word whore because they used you, they showed you that you was one.
Come on.
In other words, if you play a game with somebody who's a whore, you become one. God, please.
Yes.
Huh? Oh, do not be, hold on, do not be deceived. Bad company will corrupt good manners. In other words, if it's smooth over there and the battery post over here is corrupt, yeah, y'all follow me? Watch the analogy.
Mm-hmm.
If that post over there, the positive, It's smooth. You done got your little oil, your little lube from AutoZone, and you done put it on. It's smooth. It's like new. But the left one, the negative, is corrupt. It's corroded. If they connect, and the one that's good starts to turn corrupt, that means both of them, that means there's no more connection. You become what you connected with.
Yes, indeed.
Only because we played a game. In other words, we yielded to something that God said no to. When we start to be disobedient to God, we start to play a game with Satan. In other words, God, you're not good enough. Satan, come on in. Huh? If the price is right, come on down. Because if God was good enough, you would never have time to entertain. Oh, entertaining is a game. You would never have time to, entertaining is a game, y'all. You would never have time to entertain sin. In other words, it can never get my attention. Anything that gets your attention can keep you. If it gets your attention, it can get your mind. If it got your mind, it can get your body. If it can get your body, it can get your soul. What you think the next step is? Somebody didn't catch that game? See, Satan's so slick. He wants your mind, but come on, players out there, tell them about the game, player. I'm going to tell y'all about the game. If I can get your, in other words, before I get your body, I got to get your mind. Huh? If I can open your mind, I can open your legs. Boy, boy, boy. They don't want, the game is supposed to be told. Huh? Not so? I'm trying to tell y'all the game, right? I'm trying to hit y'all the game, right?
Yes. Huh?
Because a true player, Satan, would never call you an enemy. True players would never let you live your own life because they want to manipulate you. They want to steal from you. They're playing a game. They lying to you. Anything outside of faith, they come like an angel of light, like they care. But how they care about you, and they destroying you. How you know they're destroying you? Does your life look like anything that Jesus would want it to look like? In other words, how you know your life is real and it's not a game? Put Jesus in place of you and everything that you have done. Would you follow a Savior that has done what you did? Would you follow a Savior that has thought like you thought? Would you follow a Savior that has been conniving like we've been conniving? Would you follow him and call him God?
Nope.
Okay, that means we're playing a game. Because if you have the ability to do wrong, quite surely you have the ability to do right, right?
Yes, indeed.
You think God makes this lopsided where you only do wrong? No. You have the ability to do right. It's just that your P-I-M-P pimped you and had you thinking the wrong thing. I'm talking about sin. Hello, somebody? He ain't my pimp.
Yes.
Okay, but why is he even in your life? See, when you don't play with something, when you don't play a game with something, don't you erase it completely?
Yes.
Anybody married out there? Married folk. If you've been married, ever been married before, come on. Come on, folk. I'm talking to everybody. Anybody relationship to, just think about it if you're married. Let's think about it. Would you want your current situation to be riddled by things from its old situation? In other words, women, would you want your husband to have numbers of their exes around? Fellas, would you want your wife to have numbers of their exes around? Quite surely you wouldn't want that, right? Right? And if they keep them around for whatever reason, it's called a game, right?
Yes.
For whatever reason, right?
That's right.
Because if it not be a game, shouldn't you have clarity and transparency in it all?
Yes.
Lord Jesus. The Bible says show yourself blameless. In other words, you show yourself blameless because I don't have nothing to hide, so what comes to me, you're going to know. Miss Tiana, if they call or text me, you're going to know about it. And I'm going to tell them, hey, you know, you need not do that. Now, you got one time because I ain't playing no games with me, playing games with you. First of all, I'm good. Second of all, Satan, when you had the opportunity to have me, you ain't want me, Satan. So if you ain't want me then, you don't want me now. So you will not get my attention because you're trying to mess up my future with God.
Come on. It is.
Y'all know when we play a game, don't get mad at the one who had free will to step away because you didn't do what you were supposed to do when you had him.
Come on.
I'm talking about God, if y'all not catching my drift. See, in the day of judgment, don't get mad at God Because you believe in purgatory. You believe, in other words, I can do wrong and I can get it right. No, God said when you take your last breath, it is done.
Amen.
Now, if you play the game, that's on you. 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. Write the scriptures down. I'll say them real quickly. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Translated, when I was in the world, I spoke like the world. I thought like the world. I reasoned like the world. When I became a righteous man in God, I gave up my worldly ways. Now, which one you want with this? Hold on. When I was a player, I spoke like a player. I thought like a player. I reasoned like a player. But when I became faithful, I gave up my player ways. How you want to do it?
All right.
Who playing games out there? Because, see, when you really get tired of games, that means you're getting tired of being hurt.
Come on.
Tired?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You're tired of being hurt. So I'm not going to be hurt, and I ain't going to hurt nobody because I don't have time for games. Life is too short. We done wasted too many years already, right?
Come on.
Lord have mercy. You know the sad part about this, y'all? People hear this message, and they'll get off the phone empowered, and Satan will steal it like that.
Ooh.
You know why? You know why we run on E so quickly? Because we be moving around looking for entertainment. See, God done filled you up. We should have the ability to go fill other people up. How you fill other people up? By you not playing the game. They should see your consistency in God.
Amen.
Huh? Hebrews 5:12-14, real quickly. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you. Again, the basic principles of the oracles of God. In other words, you should be mature, but you're still getting people to teach you. That's almost like a 33-year-old sitting in a second grade class. What is going on?
Come on.
Oh, Lord. Y'all thought about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But though by this time, look at what he say. No time for games. By this time, you should be teachers. But instead, you need someone to teach you again. They got to reteach you the basic principles of the things of God. Look what the Bible went on to say. You need milk, Mr. DJ. Look what it say. This is Hebrews 5:12-14. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of God, since he is a child. Woo-hoo! They unskilled. Oh, my God. Everyone who needs milk, not solid food, is unskilled in the word of God, since he is a child. See, when you unskilled, that means you're a child.
Yes, indeed.
Why would God let you drive his car? His vehicle when you can't even pedal the big wheel? Huh? In other words, why would God put you over nations when you still playing the game with the stuff that he been told you to leave alone?
Come on.
You still cheating on your taxes? How are you going to run a business and you can't even get your little simple taxes right? Okay.
Right.
You still not married? How you going to get married when you treated their marriage bad? Because you stepped in and was in the way. Whoa. Huh? I know she pursued you. I know he pursued you. But the fact of the matter is, you didn't have to let them. I'm talking to you, ma'am. Sir, I'm talking to you, too. Is this a reason why you don't have? Because some people call it karma, but let me tell you what God called it. He calls it reaping and sowing. Oh, I said that wrong. Sowing and reaping. But
no.
You got it, right? Okay. Huh? But everyone who lives on milk is not skilled. They're not skilled because they still are children. They're children. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers, who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Let me break that down. Solid food is for us mature folk. I'm calling us. I'm speaking us as God calls us.
Yes.
That's for us mature folk. The ones who don't play games with the devil. Solid food, meaning the solid word. See, the reason why a lot of people don't want a solid word, sound doctrine from God, is because they want spiritual, they want milk. You know, babies don't like greens. Babies don't like cabbage. See, they don't understand. But when you start, y'all better catch this. When you catch this now, no time for games. when you understand your body, you know what it takes, or whether it tastes good or not. I'm doing what it takes that my body loves, that my body needs, not what my taste buds want. Children go by taste. Adults go by needs. Y'all better catch me. This is why adults are differently than children. And the adults that don't eat right, this is why they end up with stuff called ailments. They have a childlike thinking. Oh, my. Oh, my. If grace and mercy run out, why do you think the body starts to deteriorate? We are the body of Christ. If we are the body of Christ, why are we not growing? Why are we still playing games? Why are you still on Gerber at the age of 28 years old? You're going into your 40s, your 60s, and you still, on Gerber, milk formula? Something ain't right. That means somebody playing the games. But solid food is for the mature. Why does God got to chew up his food and then put it in your mouth? You still a baby? Because if even if we're drinking milk, we should have graduated, because milk, makes the bones grow stronger. So how are we still weak? Y'all, come on, y'all, no time for games. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained. In other words, when you say, God, give me discernment, you should also be saying, God, train me. Ooh, y'all missed that one, right? He said, those who have powers of discernment, those who have discernment trained by constant practice. In other words, when you ask for discernment, God give you discernment. You have the ability to recognize good from evil. He trains you to distinguish the good from the evil. So how are we mature and we know what not to do? We know that we're not playing a game, yet we fall back into divers temptation. We fall back into our childish ways. I thought we were supposed to be mature. You know, watch this. Anybody ever been in physical fitness training? When you're training for something, if you take something away and you get it again, in other words, if I'm training my body to stay away from salt, if ever I should eat salt again, after 3 or 4 months of not having it, I will be able to distinct. I ain't even need to meat. I taste salt. Because you know your body. Watch this. If that's the natural body, what about the spiritual body? We are the body of Christ. Fellow friends, remember the Bible said, if you see your brothers and sisters in error, go to them in love and restore them lest you be tempted and fail. See, when it's not a game, because we are the body of Christ, when one part of your body is slacking, shouldn't you be telling them, hey, you being immature? Why are you messing with that? You ain't looking right. You ain't thinking right. Why are you not holding people accountable? In other words, are you a part of the mature body or the immature body? Because if you're a part of the mature body and your discernment has been trained, shouldn't you be telling your friends in love you ain't right?
Yes.
Now, how you have people around you, and you talking about you not playing the game, they not playing the game, but nobody correcting somebody, everybody? Because if we're a body, see, I don't just go to the massage parlor and just let them massage my feet. I want my whole body done. You don't just feed your body, feed your face, and it just go to your thighs. Here, some people say, my eyes go to my hips, straight to my nose. It don't. It go all over. It's just, that's something else we have to get into another day. But you understand, you take care of the whole body, not some of it. Since we are the body of Christ, if the brain says, this is why the Bible said, have the same mind that Jesus had. That means if he wasn't playing the game and he was maturing his thinking, shouldn't we be?
Come on.
True?
True.
Y'all got that?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. In other words, you long for spiritual milk up front, but you grow into salvation. You grow into maturity. You see, salvation is deliverance. It's longevity. It's everlasting. It's glory. That means God should be getting the glory out of your life. If what you're doing, if how you living, if how you thinking does not give God glory, that means glory should be written in the Bible for other people to look at your life, your thinking, your patterns, and say, hey, this is how it should be done. If it don't look like that, like God can write your life out and give it to other people as an example, that means you're playing a game, and one that you should not play. Let us pray, Ms. Tiamma.
Our heads Heavenly Father, we are so gracious for the meal that you set before us today. May we take all of its nutrients. May we digest it. May we know what is good for us. May we feed on it such that we can share it with others, all whom you send our way. We are grateful to know that, Heavenly Father, you sent your Son to show us exactly how to live this life, and that in and through him, we knew what it is to just put in work. We are thankful for your word, and we thank you for this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Look, I want to do something for those who have to get off. Go ahead and get off. But, Ms. Tiana, for those who can't stay, I want to remain because typically I'd be having some questions that I want to answer in front of everybody, you know, and it very well may be a question or two, and it very well may be a comment. It may be something that bless your soul. Okay? Now, your testimony is important to somebody else. Okay? So let us not be immature in how we handle God's business. Okay, let us not be immature in how we handle God's business, because this is very vitally important, because a lot of times, again, I tell you, we handle God casually. You know how you wake up and you done got in the routine so much you say, good morning, babe? No. But see, if you knew that was that person's last day on earth, would you have said good morning, babe, like that?
No.
Now, I'm not about to tap into your emotions. I'm about to tap into your maturity. That means, regardless, last day or not, I know God, I gave my all. So I'm saying good morning, babe. See, I don't believe in it, you know, being lackadaisical. I'm not doing it because you very well may not be here. I'm doing it because of the love is present. And when we are mature, we don't hold off. I'm giving you my all from day one. All right, so star five, I'm going to open up them lines. Ms. Tiana, I'm going to start with you. Anything that touched you this morning, helped you out this morning, any questions you may have, any prayers you may want to send out, what you got?
Sure. Thank you for just revisiting service, right? And I want to bring up something that just really hit me was, I was trying to differentiate service from servant. But I just see so many times people do things, service out of self-reward. I'm doing it for my own selfish desires versus doing it just to do and doing it out of love. And in that, that's where we fall short. That's where we're playing a game versus actually providing life, showing others whom God is in every day. So as we're making those choices, that's one thing. Choose to do it because God's leading you there. Choose to do it out of love, not because of what you're expecting to get in return, because God always provides in ways that we may not comprehend. So that's one thing that's sitting with me from this call this morning.
Okay.
And we have
to recognize that, because even as you just stated, y'all, don't be bamboozled by words. And, you know, it's just like righteousness, okay? It's just like religion. Religion is not bad. We say that, but actually God speaks about religion. Religion isn't bad. It's what man has painted it to be. For instance,
come on.
The relationship is not bad. Men are not bad. Women are not bad. It's the bad ones that you run across. Money is not the problem. It's when you chase it. It's the love of money that's the problem. So being a servant, being of service to someone or God is not the problem. It's when you're doing it because you want to, not because God told you to.
Yeah.
In other words, if God didn't proceed it, if God didn't inspire it, you shouldn't touch it. Yeah, catch me, y'all. Go back to this now. The world said a WWJD. If God did not tell you to do it, if God didn't inspire it, if heaven can't get the glory from it, don't you do it. Can we do that? Make that a practice.
No.
For the whole month of what is this? What are we coming up to? I don't even know the month.
March is coming up.
Which calendar? Is March? Hey, well, you march on in March. January, February, okay, we're in March. All right, that's right. We got, what, how many more days in this month? Y'all know this is the shortest month of year. Four more days. Okay. Y'all follow me? So, march right on to March. But, you know, do this for the same period of time, whatever God placed in your heart. If God didn't inspire it, don't you do it.
All
and
right.
Watch how stuff starts to shift. Watch how you go from immature to mature. In other words, if God didn't tell me to do it, I'm not doing it. But, Mr. Carl, what if God told me not to call in? Don't do it, then. You know that's going to be next. Sometimes we can't hear from God. Make sure you're in a place where you can hear from God. what we got?
All right. We have a few callers, sir.
Okay.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning. So a lot was said on this morning, but I'm sorry. One of the things that stood out when it was talked about how Peter was playing a game because he was basically yielding to his fears, and that just sparked something in me. Basically, this entire message, you know, just showing me where I am. Also, I'm close with someone who is dealing with a lot as far as playing the game within life. So just being able to take this back to that individual, what I've learned, also just how all of this applies to my life. And, you know, we talked a lot about on this morning how everything that we do, beginning with our thoughts on down to our actions, the things that we say, how everything should be bringing glory to God. So just a reminder, but I just, for me, that was very powerful. And Mr. Carr mentioned something about prayers. I would just like to request prayers for my aunt at this time, Ms. Valentine. Her health is taking a decline since she started some new treatment, so I just wanted to ask that we lift her up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll do. So one of the things she said was about Peter. All right. Real quickly. Let me say this so everybody can catch this. Be quiet for a second, Ms. Tiana, please. Okay. Y'all need to catch this. With Peter, I need everybody to hear me and hear me good because we don't have time for games. Whether it's intentional or unintentional, it's still a game. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Whether it was intentional or unintentional, it's still a game. In other words, if you was on a plane, whether that pilot intentionally said I'm about to crash or whether the pilot was negligent in the middle of the flight and got up and it was unintentional and he crashed, either which way. In other words, premeditated murder versus murder, it's still murder, right?
Yes, sir.
Something was harmed. Right. A lot of times we say I didn't go into it intentionally to play a game. But here's my question. Did you come out of it playing one? What was the end result? Did somebody get hurt? Did God get glory? Ooh. I want to make that clear because we think, because of our own logic, we lean to our own understanding, we'll say, well, I'm not playing the game because I didn't intend to play one. But just because you didn't intend to lie, did you lie? Because y'all do know some people say a lie has to be intentional. No, a lie can be unintentional. You know, well, I lied because they told me something different. I know, but you still lied. Why do you think Jesus said no man knows? In other words, he didn't lie because he didn't know when God was coming back.
All right.
Y'all follow me? So the reason I'm glad she brought that up, do not play the game that says, well, if I didn't know, it don't count. That's not true. Just because you entered into it one way don't mean you left out of it the same way. There's still a game. At some point, it became a game. And that's the point when you yielded to Satan. Ooh.
Come on.
Y'all follow me? Just because you put the cake in there, you didn't intend for it to burn, but did it come out brisket burnt? Yes, it did. You understand? That means you got to constantly watch over. God watches over his word because he don't play no games. So we should watch over the word that God has given us. In other words, if God hate it, I hate it. If God love it, I love it. In other words, I'm not playing a game with Satan because God's not playing a game with Satan. I don't know how to not play a game, so let me follow God's lead. I know he don't play a game, so I'm going to follow. I'm going to imitate him. I ain't playing a game. So Peter played a game, y'all. Anytime you stop being obedient to God, you start playing a game. Watch this. When you stop being obedient to God, you start playing a game. If it wasn't a game, why then does our life start to dwindle down and we start to pull further away from God? Uh-oh. The game is good, y'all. This game's so good, before you know it, you become the prostitute to the pimp, and you ain't even know that. Because if you gave him your mind, you can give him your body. Like that. Ms. Tiana, what we got next?
Sure. Thank you. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Really, I didn't have a question. I just enjoyed the call. And one thing Mr. Carr had mentioned towards the end, like most people get off the phone and just let the devil just take over, take over and lose all the word that he had just spoken, which is true. My mind was somewhere else, and I was being—I know I was being tested because I was thinking one thing, and as soon as I got off the call, it was like I was just going to handle it. But I'm listening to him. Can't let the devil steal what was just poured into me. Of course, it was a—it's a test, and I would have failed it if I would have just went on to do what I was planning on doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had to say.
Okay. And there you have it. No time for games, y'all. Mean what you say and say what you mean. If you say you're going to do it, do it. Thank God. Okay?
All right.
Don't let the devil steal your joy. God has just planted seed. Don't let your emotions, all that, get in the way. But it's time to cut the devil off, don't y'all think?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Take everything that he stole from you. You got to take it back and some. Now, if you're scared, say you're scared and go sit on the sideline. Real talk. Because some people are afraid to face the devil that once tried to kill them. But you know what's funny to me, Miss Tiana? We say the devil tried to kill us, but we entertain the same devil.
Yes, sir.
Y'all follow me? Listen, when you can't stand Satan, you live a life that suggests you can't stand Satan. That means even though you got a word, caller, you leave off the phone, and because I can't stand Satan so much, I'm not going to give him way. See, now I have built up immunity in him. That means I can go around him, stomp him down, and come out unscathed.
Amen. Right.
Y'all follow me?
Yes, yes.
In other words, caller, if your ways today look like your ways last year or when you was immature, how have we matured? I thought when we mature, we start looking looking different, think differently, living differently than what we used to. Now, y'all, watch this. What I mean by differently, don't take that as subjective, because we'll say I'm getting better. See, better is not the best. When God gives the best, that means my physical situation very well may not have changed, but my mental situation, I don't think y'all heard me, because a lot of times we'll say they didn't touch us physically or we didn't touch them physically. Don't you know the mind is way more important than the body?
Yes.
Huh? As a matter of fact, they cut John the Baptist's head off. They took Jesus' physical body, but it's mighty funny how they couldn't touch his soul.
Amen.
Paula, what I'm saying is, make sure you protect your heart. The heart of man is the mind. Protect your mind, and Satan can't do nothing. See, when you protect your mind, when your mind right, your game's going to be right, tight. You understand me? Y'all, in other words, when your mind is right, that means, Satan, I refuse to play a game with you because you can't take over me mentally. You know how people say, you know, mentally they're playing a game with you. Well, who? Who playing a game with who? Because if they was mentally playing a game with one, shouldn't that be the one who was swayed and taken away? Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Who's playing mental gymnastics with who? Because the one who was taken away allowed the game to be played mentally, right?
Right.
Y'all follow me? Don't allow, caller, don't allow Satan to play a mental game with you. In other words, he would have you seesawing just to show you how much control he has. Today, you love God. Tomorrow, he'll step in. Today, he'll pull back. The next day, he'll pull back. The next day, he can step back. In other words, he's just showing you and trying to show God that he's playing a game and you're playing it with him. Don't play double dutch with the devil. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. What else we got, Ms. Kiana? That's it?
No, we have three more.
Okay.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning. I just wanted to say thank you this morning for the message, Mr. Carr. One of the things that, excuse me, that really stood out for me was when you tell a lie, you take away, when you tell a lie to someone, you take away their free will to make a decision on whatever, you know, is going on. And even with the lying out of fear of embarrassment for whatever, you know, you're going through. And I've been that person who has been there and done it. So to hear it explained in that way this morning, you know, taking away someone's free will, that was strong for me. And that was something that, you know, I need to go back and, you know, apologize to the people that I've done that to, because I wouldn't want someone to do that to me, robbing someone of their free will. That's something that's strong. And that's something that stood out for me along, like I said, with the rest of the call. Everything was just, it was as if it was speaking directly to me. But that was one of the strongest points that I took away from this morning. And I just want to ask everyone, I know you mentioned about prayer requests, if we can just keep my daughter in prayer, something that's going on right now medically, just to keep her in prayer and just prayers that everything, you know, testing-wise and everything that we have to go through going forward would be good reports. So thank you.
Okay. So one of the things, the free will, that's important, y'all, because God gave us. Y'all hear me? God gave. Who are we to take away something that God gave to anybody? Can I break that down in layman terms even more? Y'all, who are we? If God gave them 10, you the bullet now? You took away what God gave them? That's not good. That becomes a game. Now, you do know if God gave it, God gonna watch over. Didn't he say he watch over his word?
Does.
Free will is a part of God's word, right? Because it's spoken. He spoke us into existence, right? And we're living epistles, meaning we read of men daily. So if God gave us something and he watch over what he gives everybody, for us to strip somebody of it, you don't think God's gonna deal with us?
Yes, sir.
Y'all, I'm trying to help somebody, bless somebody. Why do you think the truth is always exposed? It has nothing to do with the people around it. It has everything to do with what God gave them, and he's not going to let nobody play a game to destroy that.
Amen.
Did y'all catch that? The truth will be forever exposed. The Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. In other words, God is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. He doesn't play a game. When God said it in the beginning, he meant it in the end. He spoke the beginning from the end.
Uh-huh.
So free will is something that we have. Hence, Satan cannot, my God, he cannot, listen to this, y'all, he can't take away the truth. He can only deceive you into not looking at it, my God. I'm about to tell y'all again if y'all missed that. In other words, the sun is ever present. The sun, S-U-N, is ever present. It does not go down. It looks like it go down when you turn. Hold on, watch this. When you turn around. The only reason why we experience darkness is the absence of sunlight. In other words, the earth turns. If your head was the earth and you turn away from God, this is why you become walking in darkness. The truth is there. My God. Y'all missed that.
Come on.
The truth is there. Now, when you get mature enough to face it again, see, God will make sure. Yeah. Y'all be careful when you start stripping people of the truth. Mm-hmm. Y'all know God is going to deal with the devil. Please don't be on his squad playing that game.
All right.
All right. So, and we will pray for your daughter, okay? I only ask y'all, can I be honest with y'all? Okay, let me say this, and I'm different. Okay, no doubt about it. Not trying to be, but it's just what it is. When you ask for prayer, be specific. I don't need to know the name, but be specific about what's going on. Here's the reason why. Okay, because I'm just that bold enough to say, Satan, you know, I'm about to attack you. You know, can y'all pray for this fungus that I have on my toe? I ain't going to say pray for my body. I'm specific. Because I want God to go directly at it.
Amen.
I'm not embarrassed. I don't have time to be embarrassed. When we perform a surgery, you ain't saying, doctor, just, you know, she got something going on. Tell the doctor, where is that? Y'all might say, well, God knows. See, that's that logical thinking. When you get so transparent with God, I'm going to tell you what you told me. I don't know if it's right, but God, that fungus on my toe is turning green. Can y'all pray for that? Y'all may call me crazy. It's okay, but I'm being very specific. I'm not embarrassed. I ain't said a name. You understand? I don't really. The reason why is because we want God. See, God, he wants us to be transparent, right?
Yes.
Because I'm not afraid to, because see, somebody else might know, might need to hear your transparency too. That's important, y'all. I'm serious. There ain't nothing like praying for people and you don't know what you're praying for. I like to be specific. You know, I don't just give people money, talking about because I need, you know, $100. No, what you need it for. Well, that ain't none of your business. Well, it also ain't my business to give it to you. See how they go?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What we got,
Mr. Carr, excuse me.
Uh-huh.
Hello?
Yes, we are.
Go ahead. Okay, I can share. I apologize for that. I can share with what I'm requesting prayer for. She has a lump in her breast.
Okay.
And she's had one, you know, a year ago, so that's what we're praying for, that you know, that it's actually resolved before we even get to the doctor. Just to lift up in prayer for that.
All right. Prayer shall be answered. And that's what me fussing, that's me iron sharpening now, because we need to do that. But that's done. We got that. All right? All right. Anybody else?
Yes, sir. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Great. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Okay. The thing that got me was the lion part, because I noticed that with these key, well, let me just say this. You know, I've told you about my niece before, Tellius,
okay,
and her situation. So this guy that she's with, she found out that he was, well, he's married, okay? Well, she was living with him, his ex-wife, and so forth, so on. So she had bruises and stuff. She came, I picked her up yesterday. You know, I didn't see anything, but she had bruises on her arm and whatnot. But she was here with me and my other sister last night, basically. I left yesterday. But so my sister told me this morning, my older sister, you know, we have these three kids, and they're young. And then my oldest is 9. She's a girl. So she was in here, you know, on the couch. My sister's in the room. She was talking with her, with the 9-year-old my niece was. And she's 28. And my sister came, she said, so what are y'all talking about? You know, and she has my 9-year-old niece, and we teach them not to lie, the kids, period, not to lie, to tell the truth. So, and my sister's like, the 9-year-old said, you know, she lied and said, we were, you know, nothing, you know, wish you know she was talking about something, but she told a lot of my sister on what she was talking about. And so I'm like, she said, and I know how my daughter is. You know, I know how she is, and the way she dresses is, you know, provocative. So, you know, I wanted to approach her about that yesterday, but I'm going to approach her about the lions today, because we try, you know, you start with kids when they're small, like my mom started with us, you know, about lions, you know, because I'll tell the truth in a minute. But my sister was not good with that. So, you know, I said, you know what, I'll talk to her, you know, about that, because that's not good. We're trying to keep them on the right track. They're good in school, you know, beyond excellent readers, you know, stuff like that. So with her lying, you know, she won't open up. In her own free will, she won't tell the truth.
Gotcha.
You know, we try to instill this in them, but with her and her provocative dressing, with these bruises, what she has going on with this guy, we don't know. You know, and that's like, you know, you playing games with him, but your games can get us all. You know, these kids just, and her daughter that's 6. You know, we keep her too. You know, to try to keep her on the right track.
Right.
So, you know, I just want you to tell these kids, I'm gonna call them in here and tell them that lying is wrong, because they don't understand that. I think they understand it, but with her talking to her, that we're having girl talk. You're not a girl. You're 28 years old. You're a grown woman. You know, if you have something to talk about, you talk to your mother, my sister, that's my older sister, or you talk to me. Because I'm going to be very, you know, I'm not going to hold back,
okay,
basically.
Okay, so let me ask you something. You're asking, you want prayer over the situation?
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm venting this morning. Yes, I want prayer over the situation.
Okay. okay. No, that's not a problem. And you know, we'll pray for that. I hope that the young lady can be in the room. But I'm going to tell you even now, real quickly.
Yeah.
We pray for that. The Bible says prayer and supplication. You know, supplication is the act of begging. It's pleading.
Right.
Pleading with God. Mm-hmm. Right? And I need everybody to hear this because this is testimony, okay, because we're not playing games. When something matures, you got to work that much harder. In other words, it's possible. Now, it's on you. Auntie, because you see it, and I know that's not your child, but you have to love it as if it were, you know. With that being said, y'all, listen to me good. Isn't it amazing how kids can disrespect their parents, they go to the military, and within a matter of weeks, they straight? Right?
Yeah.
That's why they send kids to
prison. Yeah.
In other words,
yeah.
Look at your approach. You,
mm-hmm.
the onus, you have to be so astute in God, so sharp in God, to where it has to be like, you know, discipline, disciple, discipline, military, okay. You have to be disciplined so much. Because you're talking about years of training. The Bible says train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're older, they won't depart from it. The training,
mm-hmm.
look what you have to undo. So it's going to take a lot of prayer and supplication, okay, in private, but discipline in public. Now, your discipline don't have to be with an iron fist, and you can do what I say. Discipline has to be that you show them the way and let
right.
God lead. Because sometimes it may, hey, let's go out to eat. You know she's going out. Hey, let's go. Let me and you go out. See, discipline takes on many different shapes and forms, y'all. So you got to know how to hug, but you got to know how to put down an iron fist, too. It's both. It's components. It's discernment. See, when we're not playing a game, I'm trying to hit it from every angle because you. Watch this. The bigger the devil, the bigger the responsibility. That means God has given you
yeah.
something. When you start to face all types of trials like this, that means God is, you know, he prepared you for it. You have something on you that most people don't have because this is years of training that you have to undo through God. Okay? So we'll pray over the situation, but not just prayer. Now,
mm-hmm.
auntie got to be right all the way around.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Stay right there. Okay, what else we got, Ms. Tiana? That was it?
We have one more caller.
Okay, what we got?
Good morning, caller.
Good morning. I just want to say it's my first time listening, and I'm very enlightened about the things that I've been hearing, and it's very motivating to me. So I'm going to continue to listen to y'all on Sundays and, you know, get enlightened more. And then
okay.
I can be able to share my testimony and my story.
That's what's up.
But
that's
I thank y'all.
Well, thank you for calling in. Okay. All right. So, y'all, with that being said, I want everybody to get in a quiet place because we can pray right quick. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Watch this. Prayer is like putting the cake in the oven. Your lifestyle is going to be taking it off and putting whatever glaze you want on it.
Yeah.
Let me say that again because I know we like to eat, huh? Somebody say, I'm diabetic. I can't be. Y'all know I like to have fun. But y'all know what I'm talking about. Prayer is like putting the cake in the oven. You done did everything. You done mixed the ingredients. You done brought it to God. He put it in there, okay, made sure it was well done. And then you hear that timer that goes off. See, everything else is going to be what you put on top of it. You know the icing and stuff like that is what attracts people, right? Because anybody can make it. No icing. How many people going to eat? Boy, let me. Y'all catching this? y'all really catching this?
Yes.
Lord. Boy. Somebody want to talk to me? Anybody can put a cake out there. Who going to eat that cake just like that?
Right.
You understand?
Not many.
Is that icing? Yeah. Talking about I'll make a heck of an upside down cake. I know. All right. So y'all follow?
That's the car we have. Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. And then, look, hold on. I got a suggestion. What good is the icing if the cake is no good? So they both go hand in hand. You follow me?
Yes, sir.
That's important. So the icing has to be good, but the cake has to be well done as well. All right? So we got to be baking right in God. What else? Who else we have? Right quick.
Yeah, one more caller.
Okay.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, everyone.
What's going on? That's my brother DJ, y'all. DJ,
yeah. Yeah, this is Mr. DJ. I was saying, yeah, make that prayer like the butter cake. Mr. Carr know what I'm talking about. But I'm just asking for everybody to keep us in prayer for safe travel. I mean, sometimes, you know, you can drive correctly and there's other people who are distracted or doing other things, but just traveling grace and mercy, that's all. And all right. And I will be on the line when I get back. I'm here in Baton Rouge and headed back to Atlanta.
All right, now.
Don't worry, I'm not driving. I'm not driving. They won't let me drive, so we're going to be good.
All right, now. All right, y'all heard it from, look, y'all heard it yourself from Mr. DJ, all right? So we can go ahead and pray if that's all we have, Ms. Tiana. That was it?
That's it, sir.
All right, so y'all go ahead and get in a quiet place and, you know, isolate yourselves. Okay, no distractions. And go ahead and, if you're not driving or anything like that, if you are, keep your eyes open, but just bow your heads and close your eyes and open up your hearts. Father God, right now, we lift all these prayer requests up to you, Father God. Father God, you know the nature of them. You know the purity of them, Father God. Right now that we ask that everything come and straighten up and line up and be under subjection to your word, Father God. The sound of your voice, Father God, is like rumbling thunders, Father God. We thank you, Father God. It is, although it's so rumbling, Father God, it's as peaceful as a dove, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for your serenity, Father God. We thank you for your guidance, Father. Right now we pray for Mr. DJ and his family and friends, Father God, for their safe travel, Father God, back to Atlanta, Georgia, Father God. We ask that the ride be smooth, Father God. And even as they ride, Father God, that you touch their hearts, Father God. Give them a new vision, Father God. Give them a new focus, Father God, as they travel along the highways and byways, Father God. Father God, wherever they go, Father God, let the presence of God be known, Father God, so that just not just their safe travels, but everyone, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for covering them and others along the highway, the trucks, Father God. Let's ask that everything lines up, Father God. And Father God, when they step back into the city, Father God, you give them a testimony, Father God, because many lives have been taken, but Father God, you have sustained theirs, and we claim that already, even right now. Father God, we also pray for Ms. Jennifer, Father God, with her family situation, with her niece, Father God. You know, whether she's on the phone line or not, Father God, we just lift her up, Father God. Father God, let her know her value, her worth, Father God. Father God, we ask that you undo all the snares and the wiles of the devil, Father God, the tricks, Father God. He does not have control of this child, Father God. We break every stronghold right now, Father God. You say, well, two or more touch and agree, Father God. You are also in the midst. And, Father God, we touch and agree because we know that could be us, Father God, but we love her like she is one of ours or she is us. And, Father God, right now we ask that you do it in your perfect timing, Father God. Father God, even with the situation with the married man, Father God, let her know that it is not pleasing unto you, that you do not get the glory from there, Father God. You have a husband set aside for her, Father God, and that's not it, Father God. Let her know who she is in you, Father God, so that she may not slip away by the wayside, Father God. Today be it the last day, Father God. I claim it right now. I declare it right now in Jesus' name, Father God, that you come unto her, Father God, and she obey you, Father God, that she gets it right, Father God. If not, Father God, that you continue, Father God, to use her, Father God. Keep her in the oven, Father God, until she get it right, Father God. We just ask, Father God, that her mind be renewed, Father God. Father God, it's not that she may produce right now grapefruit, Father God, but Father God, plant the seed, Father God, and water it and watch over it, Father God, so that we also, Father God, can see where she came from and where she's going. We thank you right now for victory right now, Father God. And it's not a temporary thing, Father God. It's not a shouting thing, Father God, but it's a spiritual thing, Father God, that changes souls, Father God. Father God, that exempts her, Father God, from hell, Father God, because her name is written in heaven, Father God. And Father God, let her feet follow where her mind shall go. We thank you right now for that situation, Father God. We also ask that you strengthen Miss Jennifer and the whole family, Father God, and give her a solid foundation for when she should look at, Father God. Give her a living example, Father God. Meet that young child where she is, Father God. And Father God, we ask that you use Miss Jennifer to do that. We also pray, Father God, for Miss Shine with her daughter with a lump in her breast, Father God. You did it before, Father God. You've healed it before, Father God. You heal it again, Father God. Whatever it may be, Father God, we don't even claim it right now, Father. We don't even claim it, Father God. Get the glory out of the situation, Father God. But we ask that everything may line up, Father. Father God, we ask that you touch the doorstep, Father God, in which she steps in on. We ask that you touch the house, the bed in which she lays in, Father God. Father God, for whatever reason, Father God, you're bringing this up, Father God. You reveal things to heal things, Father God. It's something that's a purpose in it, Father God. Father God, somehow, some way, you will always get us in this position of submission on our knees, Father God. But, Father God, we want to give you even more. We want to fall on our face, Father. We want to praise you, Father God, for healing right now, Father God. Father God, if we should believe, Father God, we know that it's done. Father God, we want to take that if, Father God, to more prominent stance, Father God, that says we do believe, Father God, and we accept nothing from the devil. We accept no report from the devil, Father God. It is healed right now, Father God. She has a mighty work to do in you, Father God. Father God, let her come into her true nature of what she's called to do, Father God. You say you watch over your word, Father God, and you said in your word, Father God, that we should remind you of it, Father God. You say, Father God, that blessed are those who remain in you, Father God, for we shall see the kingdom of God. Father God. Father God, you said, let it be done on earth as it's done in heaven. Father God, because that is your child, Father God, we know that her job is yet to be completed here on earth, Father God. So we ask that you remove anything that may be in the breast area, Father God, that's not of you, Father God. We ask that this body be lined up, Father God, so that she can complete the work that she has in you, Father God. Even as a young child, we ask that you protect her mind, and Father God, protect everything around her, Father God. Please protect them. We thank you for that, Father God, that you have given her a solid foundation so that this, too, may be a testimony. We thank you. Father God, we also pray for Miss Valentine, Father God, Miss Latonya's aunt. Father God, although the health, physical health may be declining, Father God, we know who you are. Father God, if you should so choose, Father God, to heal her physical body, Father God, by all means do so, Father God. We thank you. We thank you, Father God. We thank you in spite of, Father. Father God, we don't say a selfish prayer, but Father God, if you see fit, Father God, we ask that you heal her, Father God, in such a way. But Father God, even if not, Father God, oh, I love it when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, but if not, Father God, we ask that you keep her mind. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for this testimony as well, Father God. Sustain her mind, Father God. Father God, right now we dispatch angels over her life, Father God. Father God, we ask that you continue to pour into her, Father God. That glory just shines all the way through her, Father God. Father God, if you want to make it a testimony or a miracle, Father God, if you want to make it, Father God, a testament to heaven, Father God, that says Lazarus did it, so shall you, Miss Valentine. So it be, Father God. But if not, Father, we thank you, Father God, and we still praise you, Father, because her mind is not gone, Father God. You said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're not claiming that, Father God, but what we do claim is that heaven still is our final resting place. And we thank you, Father God, because we all shall meet you one day. We thank you, Father God, for healing, Father God. We thank you for restoration with her situation, Father God. We just thank you, Father God, that she find peace and comfort in you, Father God. And, Father God, so shall we, Father God. We will do nothing but continue to pray for her and pray over her, Father God. And, Father God, you use us, Father God, and lace our lips with the words to say. We thank you, Father God, for being ever so present in our lives so that she may be able to see the glory of God in the natural as well as in the spiritual. We thank you and we praise you with all these prayers, Father God, the ones that we know of, and the ones that we don't know, Father God, the other ones that people have on their heart. You know their heart, Father God. We just thank you, Father God. We thank you for allowing us to come together in fellowship and not playing a game, Father God. That these words, Father, you said in your word that the prayers of the righteous avail us much. We only say what you wanted us to say because you watch over your word, Father God. Our prayers that you give us a list, not that we give you one. We thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, let everyone say amen.
Amen.
All righty. So, y'all, God has given us a list, okay? And whatever your list is, make sure you do it because we said a prayer, but he gives us first. And we got to serve God before he serves us. You understand?
Amen.
The reason why the prayers of the righteous avail us much, righteous meaning those who are in right standing, you can ask God for whatever you want, and it shall be given only because you're asking him what he told you to ask in the first place. You know how somebody say, hey, ask me a question, I'm going to give you an answer? So I'm going to ask you the question that you want me to answer. Ask me if I know. You know, people say that, that means they have something. So, God, I asked you for the prayers you told me to ask for. The reason why it avails much, because that wasn't my words. That was his.
Amen.
Hmm? Ask me how tall I am. 6'1". Y'all have a great day. Y'all lay it on the table.
Bye-bye.